Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings. We're here on a Friday morning. This is Sound the Shofar. This is leading into the weekend. Shabbat begins tonight in the evening, goes to tomorrow night. And we have a lot of things going on. The fall feast got over. We're going into celebration of many of the church gets into the birth of Jesus Christ. But the one thing good is his name is lifted up, and he's lifted up. At any rate, we're looking at Thyatira and Jezebel, Message of the Seven Churches, Part 5. And, you know, when we look at Jezebel, another word for Jezebel is the whore church. That's really the type here when we talk about Jezebel. There's also Jezebels that are married. There's a lot of that spirit of Jezebel in many of the female population in America and around the world. Well, that's being sexist. No, that's being biblical. That's true. That's why it's mentioned like that. The scripture lifts up a godly, righteous woman. Just read Proverbs 31. I think that's the one. Yeah, you can't say much of anything anymore. People are so, you know, proper, or so they think they are. Can't say nothing. Yeah, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Yeah, we need women like that. We need men that are righteous. Not self-righteous, but righteous before God. The church in Thyatira. Man. There is a good aspect to this particular section found in Revelation 2. And you go to verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. The word itself is a uncertain derivative. It's just simply known as a place in Asia Minor. That is according to Strong's. According to Isby's, it was a wealthy town in the northern part of Lydia in the Roman province of Asia. Asia was really, really big, of course. I mean, the Roman Empire was really, really big. Asia was big, too, but... These things saith the Son of God. Of course, God there is Theos. The word Son is a primary word meaning Son in the Greek. Who has his eyes, here literally, the eye, like unto a flame of fire, flux, to flash a flame, a blaze. Yeah, you would stop dead in your tracks if you seen him appear. I mean, he would get your attention. And when he said to jump, you'd say, how high? I mean, flame of fire. The word fiery here is pure, or it's pronounced poor. Fiery. Figuratively for lightning. A flame of lightning. Whew! Yeah, it reminds me of a preacher preaching one time saying that if every time we would sin grievously, if God would shoot a flame, you know, a lightning bolt beside us, maybe we'd pay attention. Well, you know, he doesn't do that, but as we're covering on our Thursday broadcast, we're covering Isaiah. And this week we covered Moab. Yeah. You want to know what the Lord does? What his judgment's like and why he does it? That'll teach you a thing or two. And his feet. It's interesting that we talk about the feet, but feet, really. Without your feet, you ain't going anywhere. If you're up in the mountains and you're a survivalist, you hurt your foot, you're going to be alive, but you're going to be severely hindered, and that'll limit your ability to stay alive. Feet, and on an animal like a dog, it would be paws. On an animal especially, paws are very, very sensitive for most of them. You want to teach a dog not to jump up on you, step on his hind paws, he'll get down immediately. And you do that every time he jumps up, he'll stop doing it. You know, feet are one of those things, I think, that are less appreciated. More and more people, especially as they get older, find ways of having no pain emanate from their feet because of their arches and every other kind of thing. So when we look at this, the feet of him who has the flame of fire shooting out like lightning is like fine brass. Now here it implies whiteness or brilliancy. Burnished copper when we talk about the fine brass. But if you've ever seen brass, paid attention to it, when you polish it up, it really can shine. And when we're talking in scripture, when we're talking in this, remember, everything is perfect. You know, when we talk about white, as far as the appearance we see in some scripture, the brilliance is whiter than white, whiter than any white you could ever imagine. So it is here. This burnished copper and its whiteness and brilliancy is above anything that humans are able to have. So it's going to be shining. It's going to be just an awesome sight. The word terrible, you know, to behold. It stirs fear and wonder and all these things all at the same time. In other words, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, people gathered there in Thyatira, they are the church. The Spirit of God is within you. You are the temple of God. You are the ecclesia, the called out ones. And where two or more of you are gathered, that forms what we'd call a church meeting. Because he's in the midst of you, and the glory falls. And then if you happen to be in a building, that's church in a building. But the building, the bricks and stones, and even the man-made denomination, the man-made name, its rules, or whatever it does, that's man-made. Maybe led of the Spirit in some cases, but it's still man-made. God doesn't redeem bricks and stones. He creates a new heaven and earth, perfect. Matter of fact, if you go back to making altars, it had to be original stone, nothing that had been hewn or touched by man, per se. Not touched, but manipulated anyway, natural stone. Then you could do a sacrifice. Because anything made with human hands from humans has been defiled. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't appreciate the holiness of God like we should. So the group is meeting in, you know, Thyatira, wherever they meet. They can be meeting in homes all over. They could be meeting by the river. And then, of course, wherever God's saints are, as Scripture says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So that's the angel of the church in Thyatira. Now, we can also relate that to the pastor that's there. But, you know, as far as pastors being angels, they're human. They're not angels. They may seem like an angel to you, but they're just men. It's what my pastor said one time. He says, I'm just a man like you. I put on my pants one leg at a time. And he just followed what God had for him, and he grew old and he died. And that's the way it is in life, and that's why we have the Son of God to redeem us. So the church in Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes with flames shooting out of his eyes like fire, just absolutely brilliant. His feet are brilliant brass, a different, just a little change in color, but brilliant none the same. In other words, everything is just glory here. He says, I know. I think that's interesting. I know. Or I see. But see, this isn't see as in you and I see. We can see a building, but we don't know what's going on. He sees. But here, it literally means in the perfect to be aware, to know. He knows. He's the Son of God. His eyes are like flame of fire. His feet are like fine brass. He didn't come down to appear to you because he didn't know anything. He knows what you're doing. When he comes back again, he's going to know what you've been up to. He's going to know every hidden sin. He's also going to know if you're right with him. He knows. I know thy works. Or your toil, your charity, that's agape, that's love, and service. That comes out as attendance, as a servant. You know, this relates to your duty at serving God, you know, whether you're a minister, a teacher, a preacher, deacon, I mean, whatever you may be, just a Christian. And then, of course, the faith, That's your creed. That's your moral conviction. That's based upon the truthfulness of God. That's reliance upon Christ for your redemption. That's believing the Word of God, standing in the Word of God. That's the faith. And of course, the hard one sometimes is patience. This particular word, hupanome, it's funny when you think about trying to pronounce. It comes from a Greek word meaning cheerful or hopeful endurance. So it comes from the word meaning cheerful or hopeful. You know, you're hopeful that as you go through this, things are going to work out. But it has more of a constant form to it, meaning enduring, patience. You know, it's continuing in what you're doing, believing God, having faith. See, I believe that no matter what we face today, you and your family, me and my family, that no matter what comes, God will make a way. This is a God that took care of the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert. He can take care of you. But you have to believe. And so we have enduring faith and patience that no matter what comes, no matter how evil, wicked, and bad and terrible it is, that God will make a way for us. I believe that. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he did. He sent us his Spirit. Now, of course, and it says, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And so we see that within this, the last to be more than the first. In other words, speaking of the works that they had been doing. The most recent ones were actually better than the ones they did in the beginning, which is usually, you know, when you first get saved or first come to the Lord, you know, you're just beginning this. You know, as you get into it and follow the Lord, you should have better works for Him, better things that you're doing, believing in faith. You should be getting better. That's a general idea. So that's what, you know, he says, what you've been doing lately is better than what you have been doing. But he says, notwithstanding, kind of interesting. On the other hand, contrary wise, you know, while you've done some good, on the other hand, there's always the other hand. Well, Johnny, you've been good today, but watch out for them buts. I have a few things against you. Because you suffer that woman here. Now the woman here refers to, it comes from the base of a woman, meaning a wife. that woman Jezebel. Now, according to Strong's, it indicates a woman. Someone that, in this context, refers to a false teacher. But you all remember Jezebel, who was the wife of her husband Ahab, who the wife was very, very influential. And she is the one that actually probably got Ahab into more trouble than anything else. And so, while... And this woman went her own way. She is proudful. She would manipulate things. She would do and get whatever she wanted. In this case, for Ahab, the guy that had the vineyard, she arranged for him to be killed. And it looked like he was at fault, but she manipulated and conspired. And she calls herself a prophetess. Now, the original word for this relates a female foreteller, you know, someone who could tell something ahead of time, a prophetess. You prophesy, you tell it ahead of time. Well, this is going to happen. And today, you know, I mean, even weather forecasters are prophets, really. They tell you what's going to happen before it does. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But it doesn't matter that they're false. You know, it's not that they're false. They're just relating it to you. They get it from history. They get it from their computer graphs and their formulas for the weather. And, of course, they watch the isobars and all the rest of the stuff so they can tell you ahead of time. But that's when we're talking about this kind of a prophetess, when they foretell, it's not just foretelling because you have the knowledge or you can gain the knowledge. This is because she got it from the spirit realm. And of course, some of this, especially when you're dealing with these things of the flesh, it comes from the flesh, temptation, the devil, the false, these things which you listen to. And she calls herself this prophetess. Now remember, because she is called Jezebel, and whenever we refer to the church itself falling, you know, giving in to the deeds of the flesh and continuing to have church and saying it's all right, that's the harlot church. And there is going to be a harlot church, a secular church. And of course, if we look at Revelation, we see the woman in Revelation 17, riding a beast. You see, that form there would relate what the harlot church is. She rides the system, the beast. She does what the system and the world wants and gives in. If they say this kind of behavior is okay, they say, yeah, we agree with you. We'll just, you know, because they want to be inclusive. There's a lot of good reasons why they do that, but nevertheless, when it comes down to following the Lord and saying sin is not sin, you're getting into trouble, deep water, because sin is sin. And this particular woman took the servants of the Lord, and of course she was kind of a leader here. It's kind of interesting when you look at the word servant, because it means slave. And it means a bond servant or a bondman, someone who is bounded to that person. Now, what would happen is, if you get back in the Old Testament, you do see the bond servant. This is where if an owner of a slave wants to release him, and that slave loves his master so much in what he's doing, he prepares and he tells him, I want to be a bond servant the rest of my life. I want to serve you, your family. And so they put a mark. I forgot what it was on his ear. I think it was his ear. But at any rate, there is a form for a bondservant. And in Scripture, Christians are called bondservants. But they're also, you know, when we talk about the people of God, you know, they're referred to, for instance, as sheep being led to the slaughter. The Lord is referred to as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, because lambs were used, you know, in the sacrifices. So these are types and metaphors that we look at. And a bondservant simply means these are people, like if we're a bondservant of Christ, we're serving Him willingly. We give our heart to Him. Yes, we're yours and we follow you. That's a bondservant, you know. And you're willing to do it for labor, and your labor is not going to cost anything, you know, as a bondservant. Now, some get paid for it, and the ministers begin to forget that they're actually a servant of the Lord instead of a professionally paid preacher who makes millions of dollars. Actually, if you look at the examples of the apostles, none of them became millionaires. Or the prophets of old, you know, the apostles and the prophets, none of them did. So when you talk about money, money is the root of all evil. But we do need it. So at any rate, these bond servants, she taught them to commit fornication because they're bond servants. Of who? Of her. Of what she teaches. But he says, my servants. So these were people who were Christians that she taught to commit fornication. So she would have been using her prophecy and her ideas to blend with Christianity to get them to do things that God never intended. To twist Scripture, to twist what it is, and which in the early church this happened quite frequently, especially those who wanted to destroy what the apostles were doing. And a lot of them, you know, there was a lot of Jews that were doing that. And these were, would follow the apostles around. To commit fornication, to act the harlot, literally meaning to indulge in unlawful lust of either sex. And with that, to practice idolatry. And of course, even if they didn't commit unlawful lust with, you know, in sex, and committed adult idolatry, they were still committing fornication, spiritual fornication before God, because they were seeking another God. See, and this is the problem when you take different gods and you leap them all into one with the Lord our God. The Lord our God is not going to rule with any other God. And Christ is not going to rule with any other name or title. Now, Muslims openly speak of Jesus Christ as a good man. But believing he's a good man does not make him the Son of God, does not make him your Savior. That's why when Muslims come to the Lord and really understand who he is and accept him, there's a power there and an understanding that they've never had before, and they're instantly transformed. And they are, many of them don't ever return. I mean, many of them, the reports and the testimonies that they give us, they literally are willing to die for what they've just found. So there's a difference here. And so these servants have been taught by this woman who would have had some kind of a prophetic spiritual ministry, who would put together Christianity, this modern teaching of the apostles, along with things that were currently in vogue in the Roman Empire at the time, which having orgies with food sacrificed unto idols and having all kinds of sexual immorality was kind of the thing that happened in the Roman Empire. And even that got carried away. And in Revelation 2:21, and I gave her space or time, And of course, here there's no time frame, which is common in Scripture. I didn't give her 2 days, 2 weeks. It was God gives us time to repent. He gave Israel time to repent, both houses of Israel. And so he gave time for Sodom to repent. Abraham interceded. He gave time. You know, to Nineveh. And they repented. He gives time. He allows you to repent. He's a God of forgiveness, repentance, and restoration. Metanoeo. To think differently afterwards. You repent. The way we say it, you turn around and go the other way. You are following the lust of the flesh and following your own will and the devil. You turn around and go the other way and you follow God's word, God's will, his way. That's repentance. So God gave her space to repent of what she was doing, turn around and follow the Lord. So from this we would gain that she indeed knew who the Lord was. That she had gotten involved somehow, but somehow maybe she went back to her old lifestyle and decided this is it. Who knows? But he gave her space to repent, to turn from what she was doing, to go back, to turn the other way. Now, it's interesting. The fornication that we see in the other word in Revelation 2:20, my servants, she had taught the servants to commit fornication. This is Strong's, this is porneo, which resembles really closely to pornography. But a lot of these words, porn, yuo is how it's pronounced. To act the harlot, to indulge in unlawful lust. Now the other one is 4202, which is porneia, meaning harlotry, idolatry, and even incest. Figuratively, it's idolatry. So if we were looking at this and thinking about this, we would think that this woman was a Jew who, instead of serving the true and living God, decided to do this. That does not necessarily mean that that's what she was, but that's what, when I look at this, that's what I, personally, what I wouldn't put that out at all, that she would have been a Jew. But whatever she was familiar enough with the teachings of the apostles and stuff to be able to approach these, Christians and get them turned to follow her. So she had to have some good, misleading information or something to get them to do that. Of course, if they were Gentiles, as many of these were in the Roman Empire, and if they came from that lifestyle, she might have been the temptress to bring them back into it and try to convince them that it's okay for you to do both of the things, what you were doing and Christ too. And this is really, really what the devil likes to do a lot of times, keep a Christian say, okay, yeah, you can continue that lifestyle. We have Christians today that repent of their Christian lifestyle. We have Christians today, especially famous ones, that turn from what is normal and has a lifestyle that is an abomination, yet call themselves Christians. This is okay in America because that's the way we are in this country. Because that spirit of fornication, that spirit of idolatry, the spirit of the harlot, the spirit of the woman that we find in Revelation and her cup of abominations are thoroughly entrenched in America. So he gave her space to repent of her leadership and her out-and-out idolatry, and she didn't repent. And he says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with them. Now, see, this is a group. He's talking of everybody here. Them. And matter of fact, them that commit adultery is one Hebrew word. I mean, Hebrew, Greek word. And it means to commit adultery. So, whoever's there with her that eats these things, sacrificed to idols, committing fornication, is going to be in the same place where she's at. And he's going to cast them all into great tribulation. Thlipsis. This is a common word for tribulation. Anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, trouble. And of course they put the word great. This refers to, this is megas, which the word mega is still used today, meaning a lot. This refers to very wide, exceedingly great. It kind of reminds you of the Great Tribulation. It doesn't necessarily have to be, because we have tribulation in the world anyway. But because of what she's doing, she could face a great tribulation that is not actually the end time tribulation, just because of what she's done. God sends her great tribulation. And except they repent, that's turn around, go the other way, their deeds. And this is the thing that is scary, and I will kill. It means to slay, to kill outright. In other words, this is it. You know, when we talk about the judgment of God, we talk about fear, pit, and the snare. Three terms in the Old Testament you can look up. Fear, pit, and the snare. Search for them all together and you'll find them. They relate to judgment. And those who try to escape, they experience the fear, the pit. And if they accept the pit, which is the main part of what is coming, then there's the snare which catches them afterwards, like a rabbit caught in a snare. And I will kill her children with death. I mean, that's pretty blunt. He's talking to people who undoubtedly would have been Christian, who took up an alternative lifestyle and decided this is okay. They had a teacher, one that led them, and she was wrong too. And he's going to cast all of them into great tribulation, and he will kill them. Now this is for all you churches who don't keep the word of God, and all you pastors who don't understand what's happening here. Now we have major Christian artists who have went to lifestyles that are total abomination before God. This is the same thing. You cannot do these things and expect to live in heaven with the Lord, be in His kingdom. You have to repent and stay on the path of which Christ, walking in His light as He is in the light. John, 1 John 1. He will kill her children with death, and not just her children. But what he does here is all the churches, now this is ecclesia, this is all the people, all the members, all the people who call themselves Christians shall know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts. You know, when you look at the girding rope, you know, that you put around your waist. You look at all the things that he's talking about. He'll get into the inner depths, reads the hearts, your motivations and everything. He searches out. And he says, and I'll give to every one of you according to your works. Refers to toil, what you do for the Lord or what you do for yourself or whatever. Now see, that's the judgment part. That tells us that within the churches, we have a lot of organized churches. But the church are the people, the called out ones. We meet together in buildings we call churches. But the bricks and stones aren't saved. The people in them are saved. God's coming back for the people. He's going to judge the people. And so here, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not known this doctrine, doctrine is instruction, and which have not known, of course, meaning to know, the depths, the extent, of Satan. Of course, this is a definite article, meaning the accuser, that is the devil, Satan. This is who it's referring to. Have not known the depths of Satan. Now, see, people that do know the depths of Satan, they're called by many names. One of them are witches and warlocks. But there's a lot of others. There is a depth of Satan, and there's many tricks he uses. And if we look at the beast, which gets its power directly from Satan, this beast is Satan. And on him, this beast, rides the harlot with the cup of abominations, which seduces the world into doing things, and they do them. It's seduction. This is what the devil is. He's a seducer. But these people have not known all the depths of Satan. You don't have to know the depths of Satan. The Lord will take care of Satan and the darkness. All you need to know is the Lord, follow his word, and resist him, and he'll flee from you. And there are spiritual warfare. There are witches that spend their time getting in the news, young witches, because they think it's okay, casting spells on Trump. But if Trump is somebody that God is using, those spells ain't going to do a dime's worth of good. And spells from witches on Christians, if those Christians are thoroughly in tune with the Lord, can be relatively harmless. But on the other hand, they can cause trouble for you if you don't pray and keep associated, abiding in the Lord. You can have problems. You can rebuke them. I know Sister Pat. I used to interview her many years ago when she would go into Africa and various other places. And these witch doctors would cast spells on her. She'd send them back to him seven times over. It got to the point that these witch doctors were afraid to death of her because they would, well, these spells they gave came back to them. And that's what happens when you're calling a demon. If you send a demon after somebody, and if that demon is overpowered, he'll come back to the one who sent him. And so there is, these people didn't know the depths of Satan. You don't need to know that. We don't want to know it all. We don't need to know it all. We need to know the Lord. We need to walk in him. But see, the bottom line of it is not just that they did not know this. The good news is, I will put upon you no other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Meaning again, till I come. When he comes again, you just hold on. And this is a word for all Christian believers today. We live in a world that's lawless. We live in a world that is unruly. We live in a world full of backslidden, cold churches. They're not all like that. And, you know, Paul even warned us, because sin and iniquity will abound. The love of many will wax cold. We're living in that kind of a climate. This is the time of lawlessness. Because lawlessness begets lawlessness. Lawlessness will bring in the son of lawlessness, which is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who is a deceiver? He will sit in the temple of God as God. And he will have signs and wonders that will deceive many. He'll send many to hell. He's a deceiver. The son of destruction, they call him. Because they rejected the love of the truth, which is the gospel, which is the son of God and the Father. That's a society and generations of people who come together in the end times who suddenly absolutely reject the Son of God and everything he is. So God sends them a delusion and they follow lawlessness. Lawlessness will bring in the son of lawlessness. That lawlessness cannot come in. That son of chaos cannot come in because he's begat by chaos. He has to come into a world full of chaos. The devil wouldn't last long if he came into a world full of hot, on-fire Christian believers in churches. He doesn't stand a chance. He knows that. Christians and their homes that are on fire, he isn't going to directly attack. He's going to find a way in you through the weakest element. He doesn't attack directly. He knows he's defeated. He comes in through a weak element. So protect your family, protect your kids in prayer, believe and stand up and understand you don't have to know the darkness, just keep the faith, walk in Christ, and although it's lawlessness, don't let it affect you. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Christ. Because that's what he tells you to do. And see, that tells us that even in the churches that you think are dead, there could be those that have the faith and they're still holding on. So it's not like we're going to destroy all the churches because we don't think we should have that many. Wherever there are people that call themselves Christ, there is going to be the devil, the enemy, and also those that know him. The Lord, in his group of apostles, he had a devil, Judas. We know that within the pulpits, there are those that just come in for the labor, the paycheck, and the money. It's like a job. Persecution arises, they flee. And he that overcomes and keeps my work unto then, him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now see, that's one of the things the Lord says all the time when he's teaching. You got to have ears to hear. When he was here, he said everything in parables. You know, when you hear a parable, you've got to pay attention. You've got to look at it, pray over it, study it. When he was first telling these, You know, that's what he had to do, and he explained himself to the apostles. But you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. But see, he that overcometh and keeps my works to the end, him will I give power over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. The nations are going to be broken down. The nations of men are going to be brought low. No flesh will be glorified. The Lord will be glorified. During the millennial reign of Christ, he's coming back as the greater son of David. He's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and his people will be with him. When he comes again, he'll destroy those who have destroyed the earth. And he is going to lock up the devil and his minions. And all those that he's managed to get together in his army in that last great battle, which the Lord comes back. You can actually find that battle in the last chapter of Zephaniah, or Zechariah, rather. You can find it in Revelation, too. All of those armies are going to be killed. They're going to die instantly with the sword of his mouth. See, because this one that is coming on the horse in the clouds of the air will have a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. He'll have the word of God on him, the word, and a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. That's the spiritual. When you look at him in the spirit, that is the spiritual image. But he'll come back, and he isn't going to mince words. It's going to be destruction. It's going to be the end. That's it. And he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. It's hard to believe there's people that would plot to do that, to destroy the earth, but there are people out there. Iran is one of them. They're willing to destroy the entire earth through nuclear means in order to get their way, to get their Mahdi to come in. And they're not the only ones. See, this is what's facing mankind today. And the Lord said that unless the days are shortened, there will be no flesh left alive. Now, it says in that same verse that the days will be shortened. But the bottom line of it is that there are people on this earth, human beings, that are demon-possessed, that are possessed to destroy as much of this earth as it takes, as many people as it takes to bring in that thing which they have been possessed of, wants them to do. And in this case, when we look at the Mahdi, when we look at the caliphate that Erdogan's trying to build, they will stop at nothing. Erdogan is not going to be dissuaded from that which he does. But the bottom line in all of this, it's like the Lord prayed, and I recommend you read John 10 through John 17 or 18. In John 17, he prays a prayer. He says, "And I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil." The evil represents the devil, Satan, from the evil he does, from his powers. So you can pray that. Father, I pray thee, according as it is written, for our Lord said, Father, I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. I pray thee that you would keep, and then name the names of you and your children. Keep us from the evil. You can also pray Luke 21. And in that section, it says, watch and pray always that you will be counted worthy to escape all those things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's your escape clause. Father, I watch and I pray, and name the names, that we'd be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's according to thy word. That's your escape clause through Christ. It says, Father, keep them from the evil. It says, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. This is what you want to be praying today. And you want to be praying for your children and protecting them from the evil, especially that which is going on and taught by teachers in the schools in America. There is damnation being taught in these schools. There is hell being embraced in these schools. There is abominable lifestyles. We're causing confusion for a lot of the children. And yes, it's as bad as that. And it was bad when I was being raised. The bottom line of it is the devil hates America and hates the nations of men, especially if those nations of men have any semblance of morality and the love of God. And so I really do like the message in this. It's not just of Jezebel, but it's of those that have not known the depths of Satan. I'm not going to put on you any other burden, but that which you already have, I want you to hold it fast till I come again. Hold that. What you're doing, you keep doing that, because when I come, I'm going to reward you. You have not known the depths of Satan. You don't do those things. You're keeping my faith. You're doing what I'm telling you to do. Hold that fast. And when I come again, I'm going to give you the reward. You will have overcome if you do that. You keep my works unto the end, I'll give you power over the nations. You will rule along with me with a rod of iron. The nations are going to be broken to shivers. My kingdom will come in, and I will give you the morning star. You will shine like the morning star. Your righteousness will outstrip anything you've ever seen. Because that's the righteousness of Christ. But he says you have to have an ear to hear. You have to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. I mean, that's the bottom line. You've got to hear. And unfortunately, you know, we don't listen. I mean, that's a problem. We don't listen. You know, I mean, it would be nice if we would listen. It would be nice if we didn't have any trouble listening, but we do. Remember, check out our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglensmith.com. Father, we thank you for your word today and for those that listen. Father, bless them, encourage them, help them understand what we've taught today through the Spirit. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Don't forget, we've got a lot of new articles over on warren-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. Check them out. The latest one, God's Purpose, The Lesson of That Old Church, a prose type, a brand new one. You'll really like this one, I'm sure. And this is a shorter one. It's a prose. It's not an in-depth. This isn't theology or anything. Another one is The Faith of Jesus in a World of Evil. It'll help you understand clearly the faith of Jesus in this world of evil and the lawlessness you face. Go to danaglensmith.com, warren-usa. Read those and check them out. Follow us on Twitter and all the social sites, because all of our shows, all of our articles are sent over there all the time. We have a constant feed, practically 24 hours a day, that feeds articles and stuff from our sites. Also, remember, this is broadcast over the Watchman Alert Radio Network. We are the WIBR Warren Radio, an end-time preaching, teaching, and warning agency, and an advocate for the persecuted church. We have a number of places that you can get apps from and stuff like that. A Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio, that's Warren Radio Visions, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and, of course, on all of our social sites. You can find us on a number of places. There's places I didn't mention that we've been on. So check all these out. Yeah, listen to the articles. We thank you for joining us today. Goodbye. Good night. Have a great weekend. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.
Prescription opioids can be addictive and dangerous.
My son Steve did not want to die, but his prescription opioids killed him. We found a post-it note that he had written about his experience with his opioids. At first, it was a lifeline. Now it is a noose around my neck. You never expect that you're going to lose a child. It's all out of order.
Prescription opioids. It only takes a little to lose a lot. Visit cdc.gov/rxawareness.
Is your cell phone bill out of control? Then this is your wake-up call. The new TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited talk and text starting at $20 a month, no contract, plus unlimited carryover data with active service. Yep, the new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.